Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange Homegrown Hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting. On the web at asmallorange.com. From WJCT Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech, technology worth talking about. We're here to make technology simple, easy, and approachable for you.
Got a question about your computer, smartphone, tablet, or the internet? Give us a call at 904-372-DEEM. That's 904-372-3336. Or you can send us an email at questions@deemable.com.
Well, happy new year to all of our listeners.
Man, 2013. I just got used to writing 2012 on my checks.
Yep. Well, it is a new year, and we have an inbox full of new questions. Tom, what have we got?
Well, it looks like someone named 1234 has a question for you, Ray. He writes, Hollister, what can it decide to use outfit properly? Possessing plenty of cash, properly in which aids, yet primarily it will firm, realizing oneself along with your physique, and also finding time to have that proper.
What?
Okay, I'm going to skip forward a bit. They say, huge extermination organizations mentioned in which, given that May, well regarding a year ago, they will start it out obtaining practically 45,000 calls weekly, coming from paranoid folks, and also mom and dad.
Tom, are you okay?
I'm just getting to the good part. just about the most noteworthy areas to own identified your bed pests has been Hollister. Unbelievable. The greatest Hollister situated in Soho. We are holding sealed straight down regarding out more than a few days through the extermination period. Several days further, Hollister's father or mother business, Abercrombie and Fitch, received your bed pests in the downtown area place and also required to shut for a couple nights at the same time. NYC's well-being split Hollister clothing explained that people must not be involved due to the fact your bed pests create zero risk or perhaps disperse disease.
Okay, let's stop for a second here. That's not a question. I'm not even sure that's English. And for anyone who's listening, he just read an email, right?
Yeah, that was verbatim. I'm not spazzing out here.
Okay.
It was written to questions@deemable.com. So clearly this poor person has a serious problem with, I don't know, bed bugs infesting their high fashion garments.
This has got to be spam.
Spam, but it's not trying to sell me any herbal enhancements or great stock tips. There's not even any suspicious attachments. It's just gobbledygook. What's the point?
Well, okay, like any other email user who doesn't want to be driven absolutely insane these days, we use an email filter that has spam filters.
Yeah, and basically these spam filters scan emails for words, phrases, and terms common to spam mail, like short, badly spelled invitations to click a link for cheap herbal supplements.
So to avoid these spam filters, spammers have tried to design spam generators that pull together actual bits of text in a way that looks natural to spam filters.
But it looks like Klingon to us. Okay, so Mr. 1234 here is just some computer-generated thing that's evaded our spam filter. Points for him. But where's the payoff? I'm not any closer to buying male enhancement pills than I was before.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Well, often these garbled messages have a link at the bottom, which you should never click, by the way. In this case, though, the message was probably just sort of testing the water, seeing if anyone would respond. If we did, some spam generator somewhere would know to spam us like crazy.
Okay, so let's not do that.
Right, let's not do that.
Okay. Well, here's another email. This one I know is legit because it's from my good buddy Ashton.
It's always good you know the sender. What's Ashton's question?
Well, oddly, there's no question or any text in the email at all, really. There's just a link to something. Let me go ahead and click it here.
No, don't click it. It's a trap.
What?
At best, it'll take you to a CD page for making millions by working at home. At worst, the page will upload malware to your computer that will fill it with, you know, programs that you don't want and ads you can't get rid of.
Come on, Ray. Ashton is my good buddy, and we go way back, and he wouldn't do something like that to me.
Well, yeah, not intentionally, but if you look at this email, you can see it's not just to you. It's to a whole bunch of people.
So he wants to share his cool link with all his friends.
Right, or his computer has some malware which is sending out emails from his account to everybody in his address book with corrupting links. It's a classic spam email.
So why didn't the spam filters catch it?
Well, spam filters are designed to be more trusting of emails from people you know. That's why using someone else's account to send spam is so devious.
Okay, well, that's discouraging. So I better get in touch with Ashton. What can he do to stop this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you get this kind of email, don't click the link. Contact the person.
Yeah.
Not by email, through some other way. Either by phone or maybe
like,
go through Twitter or Facebook.
Isn't you. Yeah, I'm going to text him.
Yep. Well, first, and the easiest thing to do, he needs to change his password.
Yeah.
I would always recommend that he goes to a computer that's not the same computer that he normally uses and changes his password on there. Just in case someone has hacked his account from the outside. But more likely, he needs to scan his computer for malware. Mm-hmm. And if he's using Windows after XP, he can use Windows Defender, and it should be able to root out the problem.
And in fact, I believe you can actually download Defender for XP now,
yes,
although it doesn't come with it natively.
Yep.
Well, cool. I will let him know that. Hey, listeners, if you suspect you have malware or a virus and you need help dealing with it, send us an email and let us know. We'll see if we can't help you out.
Yeah, just don't send us an email with a link to it for us to click.
Or now, something that sounds like it was, you know, translated from Chinese.
Exactly. Now, some signs that your computer might be infected are ad pop-ups that when you're on sites that don't have ad pop-ups like Google or Facebook. Prompts telling you that you have a virus and you need to install mystery program X to get rid of it. And friends telling you you've been sending them suspicious spam-like emails.
There you go.
So speaking of emails, I'm going to read this real non-spam email.
Ooh.
It says, Tim asks, can I use a laptop as my desktop, external monitor, keyboard, mouse, etc., with it closed? Will I have to open it each time to power up? And could this harm the laptop?
Well, that's a good question, Tim. And I think what Tim's talking about here are laptop docking stations.
True.
And the answer depends on what kind of laptop Tim has. But the good news is that in most cases, the answer is yes. What you were looking for, again, is a docking station. And how they generally work is they plug into your laptop via USB. And then they, you know, can connect it to a mouse, to a keyboard, to multiple screens, whatever else you want. So some laptops have custom docking stations that are built just for them. If this is the case for your laptop, that's probably the way to go because, you know, it's going to be designed to fit perfectly with your laptop. But if yours doesn't have a custom docking station, there are numerous universal docking stations out there. And they work just fine, but they take a little more setup. Also, they probably won't charge your laptop while it's docked. That's one of their downfalls.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm going to assume that Tim is using a Windows laptop for the purposes of this question. To make it usable while the lid is closed, what you have to do is just change a couple settings. Go into your control panel, and then under hardware and sound, you'll find an option that says power options. So open that up, and then click edit plan settings, and then click advanced power settings, and then select power buttons and lid. And there you can choose what closing the lid does. And so you tell it, when I close the lid, do nothing.
Right.
Yeah. And that will actually keep the external display, the monitor he has hooked up to the docking station, that'll keep it on even while the computer is closed, the lid is down.
Right, because the standard setting for most Windows computers is when you close the lid, it either shuts it down or puts it into standby mode.
Right.
And that's probably why you have that question, Tim, is because you probably close the lid on your laptop and it shuts off or it goes into standby or maybe hibernate.
Yeah.
So you can go into those settings under control panel and change that.
Yep.
To where you can close it and it still works.
And, you know, and yeah, and you can keep it closed and you won't have to open and close it so much. And no, it won't harm the laptop.
Now, doesn't he have to do something with the display since he's using multiple displays?
Yeah. So after you've done what I just described, go into the control panel again. And under display, there's an option to adjust screen resolution. And under that, there's an option for multiple displays. And so you can select show desktop only on two. Because basically what it's going to do when you plug into the docking station is it's going to treat it like you now have two desktops. One is your laptop and the other is, you know, on the external monitor. So you need to set it so that since your laptop's closed, it doesn't use your laptop as a screen. Otherwise, your laptop's closed, the screen's facing the keyboard, and it doesn't do you any good.
Now, if your particular laptop doesn't have a docking station, you can still do this.
Yes.
What you would want to do is still make the changes to the settings so that you can shut the lid down and it doesn't shut the computer off. And, of course, you'll have to have USB ports on your laptop, which most do. To plug your keyboard and your mouse into, and you'll have to have either a VGA or a DVI or an HDMI out on your laptop. Most of them do have
now,
one or the other.
Some, I have been looking actually online, and of course you're going to pay more money for this, but some of the latest use USB 3 and they can run everything, including the monitor, actually through just the USB connection.
That's true. Yep.
But again, this won't power the laptop because USB is made to send power out from the laptop, not send it back in.
Right. So,
so you,
you
will have to plug in your laptop's power.
Exactly.
And another nice thing I should mention about these settings, the close lid and stay on, you can set that so it only happens when you're plugged in. Because obviously when you're on battery mode, you do want probably, that means you're not docked, basically, and you would probably want your computer to go to sleep when you close it down.
Now, one thing to keep in mind if you're using your laptop as your desktop is that laptops don't have as good ventilation. Sometimes.
That's very true.
So if you're putting it back underneath a computer or somewhere like that, like you would often do with a desktop, you'll want to make sure that it's somewhere that gets good ventilation and that it stays cool.
Absolutely.
Most laptops are actually designed to work open so that they stay cooler longer. So that's something to keep in mind. Just keep an eye on it and make sure it doesn't overheat or doesn't get too warm.
Yeah. And if you look at the bottom of a laptop, you'll see it's got vents, and that's where it sort of, you know, gets rid of all the heat. And so a nice way to help it do that is to make sure that the laptop is maybe up off of the surface or on a porous metal surface where the heat can get through. If it's trapped, especially, gosh, I made the mistake. I had a laptop a couple years ago, and I would use it on my bed all the time, just sitting there on the cover. And basically, eventually, it had heat stroke.
That's something that happens with laptops a lot. So that is something you have to keep in mind. Also, keep an eye on the vents. Make sure that they don't get plugged up with dust, because they'll get dustier faster than a lot of desktops will, because desktops have bigger ventilation because they're designed to be in one place all the time and have a lot of air flowing through it, so it keeps them longer, better.
But don't let us scare you off from this, Tim, because I know certainly at my workplace there are numerous people who have for their computer a laptop that docks, and it works just fine for them.
Same as at mine. That's pretty normal. So that's what you have to keep in mind. Just keep in mind where you're going to place it, and just make those changes in the settings so that when you set it up, it won't shut down your monitor when you close it, and make sure that it stays cool and keeps working.
Cool.
All right. Well, we have to take a quick break. When we come back, we have predictions for 2013.
Ooh.
This is Deemable Tech.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Welcome back to Deemable Tech. Well, now we have some predictions for 2013.
That's right, Ray. We are looking into our tech crystal ball. And
well, not all of these are tech related. Some are just in general.
Yes.
But we have a bunch of predictions. I asked you to come up with some predictions, and then I completely dropped the ball, and we put together some predictions for me shortly before the episode. So shall I start this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Let's see what you got. All right, Ray, what is your number one prediction for 2013?
The Apple TV will finally come out.
Oh.
I think it will. I think it's going to happen.
You think so?
I hope so. I mean, the rumors have been going on for so many years.
They really have.
But I don't know if it's going to be a better version of the box that you can buy now or an actual screen.
Right, right.
But I think there's going to be a big Apple TV announcement.
There'll be a something.
It's going to change everything again and stuff.
All right. What is what's number two?
iOS 7 and the iPhone 5S or iPhone 6 will come out this year.
Whoa, you just blew my mind.
Okay, I know, big stretch.
Way to go. I don't
It's either going to be in the beginning of the year, the second quarter of the year.
Yes.
The third quarter of the year.
Or
possibly the fourth quarter of the year. It's going to be one of those, though. And it's going to be iOS 7. And it's going to be 5S or 6.
All
right. Not sure on that one.
All right. What's number three?
Google Chromebooks are going to destroy the laptop and PC market.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I got a Chromebook for Christmas.
And you love it. And it's
thank
cool.
you, mom and dad-in-law. I got the Samsung, the $249 version. It is amazing. I love it. It is so light. It is so fast and friendly and usable. And honestly, I get asked all the time for advice on buying a laptop, and most people simply don't need one.
Mm-hmm.
This Chromebook will do everything that they need. I sound like a commercial. I know. I don't care. They're wonderful. I'm a Mac fanboy, and I love Windows too. But honestly, most people, all they need is a Chromebook.
Mm-hmm.
And tablets, the iPad specifically, but also Android tablets, they have just destroyed the laptop and PC market.
That's true.
Because most people are like, hey, I got $500. I can buy a laptop that's kind of eh, or I can buy a tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and most people are going for the tablets. And the Chromebooks were kind of a no starter because they didn't really do that much and they were kind of low powerful. This is powerful and it does everything I need it to do. And I think that people are going to see that. And this year, we're going to see more Chromebooks come out that are a little bit more powerful. And they're really going to just destroy the market.
Okay. It's,
I think you're going to see this year, maybe to clarify on this prediction, I think that by the end of this year, people will either buy a Chromebook or a tablet for their home computing purposes.
All right.
And laptops and PCs will only be for creative people or business people.
Nice. You have strong opinions on this.
I do.
We're going to come back to this and at the next year.
Yes.
And we are going to verify this. All right. Number four. That's what we're on.
Windows Phone will continue to fail miserably.
I don't have anything to add to that.
And it'll probably still make me sick to my stomach.
Yeah. Number five.
BlackBerry's maker RIM will be dead or sold or on life support by the end of 2013.
Wow.
It's sad, I know.
BlackBerry, that's the end of an era.
You know, I see what's happening at BlackBerry being the same thing that happened at Palm a few years back. You know, BlackBerry has been talking about BlackBerry 10. It's going to come out. It's finally coming out, supposedly, this year. We might see it at CES in Las Vegas the next couple of weeks. But honestly, I just think it's too little too late.
Yeah.
Android and iOS have just taken over the market. And, I mean, with now the government is leaving BlackBerry and moving on to iPhone and Android, I don't think that there's a chance for them to make it back. I don't think BlackBerry 10 is going to be good enough for people to go, oh my gosh, I have to get a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, they're going to try their darndest to stay alive. But by the end of this year, we're going to, and like I said, maybe they'll be on life support. Maybe they'll be like just barely hanging on because they have a really small market share right now. And I don't think BlackBerry 10 is going to save them.
Okay.
So.
Oh, those are dire predictions. What do you got for number six?
World of Warcraft will introduce an expansion that allows you to ride virtual bicycles through scenic Azeroth. I have no idea what I just read. This is what happens when you don't prepare.
All right.
You just threw that in there. That was great.
Number seven.
Car Talk, which recently retired, will be replaced by the more relevant Flying Cars Talk.
Awesome. Number eight.
The next iMac will not feature a screen.
Really?
It will be a small white hockey puck that projects a hologram.
All right.
Yeah, I don't actually believe that. I think that's a little much. But,
hey, they're getting rid of everything, so you can figure the screen's got to go sooner or later.
Yeah, I'm really going for five realistic and five off the wall here.
All right, well, okay. Let's hear number nine.
In the television show Once Upon a Time, it will be revealed that Henry's father, Snow White's grandchild, for those who don't watch, will be Balefire, who is actually Rumpelstiltskin's son in the story. I know, it's going to be crazy. And for folks who don't watch Once Upon a Time, they're like, what is he talking about? But that's okay. I believe that Henry's father is Balefire.
All right. And the big prediction, number 10.
2013, the year we make contact. No, maybe, you know, the Mars rover will find signs of life.
Signs of life, yeah.
There was that that interesting point last year where they were like, there's this big earth-shaking announcement. Oh, no, it's not a big deal.
Kidding. Just kidding. Yeah, and that was like not
You know how scientists are. It's no big deal. It's just stuff.
They like found a new rock formation, I think.
All right, Tom, what are your predictions for 2013? Your first prediction is...
Apple will introduce an iPhone 5S, which comes in two or more sizes, and more colors than just black and white.
Ooh, that's interesting.
I think there will be two form factors for the next generation.
There's two form factors right now. I mean, there's the 4S and the 5.
I think there's going to be like an iPhone and an iPhone mini.
So it'll be like the Samsung Galaxy S3 and the Samsung Galaxy S mini?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know if I want them to do that, but maybe they will. I mean, I'd actually like to see different sizes. More colors, though... I'm on board with that. I agree with you. I think that's going to happen.
Okay.
Because, I mean, they're doing that with the iPod Touch.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, what is your second prediction?
Facebook will make lots of its users mad with some boneheaded site change.
Yes, they will. Number three.
Michael Bay will release an action-packed blockbuster based on the card game Uno.
Okay, number four.
This one's a little more serious. Google will release its own super phone through Motorola.
Never going to happen.
They've had that subsidiary for a while now, and I think they're finally going to leverage it.
Not going to happen. You know why?
Why?
Google promised that they were not going to interfere with Motorola, and pretty much if you don't interfere with Motorola, they're going to die.
Yeah, but that's why they have to interfere with Motorola.
I think
promises are meant to be broken.
I think they're going to be absorbed into the Google, and it'll be over. They won't make phones anymore. That's my prediction for Motorola.
All right. I say there's going to be a super phone.
All right. Number five.
I will finally be able to pay for something using only my smartphone.
All right. Let's clarify that. You'll be able to pay for something using only your smartphone easily.
Yes, okay.
Because I actually stopped at Starbucks on the way here,
mm-hmm.
and I used Passbook on my iPhone and paid for my coffee, but I didn't have enough to cover my coffee. So because of how goofy the Starbucks Passbook thing is, I have to recharge my Starbucks card to add more money to it.
Mm-hmm.
But they also are on Square. So you can pay with Square, the Square wallet.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, I'll just pay for the rest of it on my Square. They couldn't get it to work.
Oh, gosh.
And there's even an ad for Square right on the register.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is bad, guys.
But I mean, I've got a phone with an NFC chip built in. Yeah. I want to tap it or swipe it, and that's it. I paid for something.
That'd be fantastic.
And
like that.
The technology exists. The software exists. What doesn't exist is an agreement between
cooperation,
the phone carriers, the credit card companies, and everybody else.
Yep, you got that right. All right. Number six.
HP will try and get a jump on the competition with its new Lick Screen tablet.
Okay, number seven.
All products will now support the cloud, even when it doesn't make any sense. There will be t-shirts that support the cloud.
Awesome. Will my coffee cup support the cloud?
Yes.
Awesome. Number eight.
Google Plus will finally become relevant. Just kidding.
Oh, that's terrible. I don't agree. I think Google Plus will be competitive by the end of the year.
I want it to be. I really want it to be. But
I think it will be at least as relevant as Twitter is to most people.
Okay.
I mean, Twitter is very relevant to media and celebrities, but hardly relevant at all to the rest of the world.
Right.
But, I think that Facebook is annoying people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we know that Facebook is constantly annoying people. And Google Plus might be somewhere where we move on to.
I want to believe.
I think that social networking is very fad oriented.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, we had our Friendster era. We had our MySpace era. I think we're coming close to the end of the Facebook era. And maybe we'll all move to Google Plus. Because Google Plus is everything. Everything Google is Google
Plus.
That's true. If you have anything on Google, YouTube, Gmail, you're on Google Plus. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
And they're integrating it well into the rest of the Google experience. I don't know. I think it will become relevant.
All right.
All right. Number nine.
Windows Phone will double its user base from 10 people to 20.
I did recently see the statistics for the usership of Windows Phone, and it's really sad. It makes WebOS look good in the old days.
Wow.
But, you know, that's what happens when you completely abandon your base users and say, you know, hey, remember all those phones you got? Yeah, you're not getting the new version of the operating system. Mm-hmm. When they moved from 7 to 8, they really ticked a lot of people off.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
All right, and lastly, number 10.
Smartphones will become smarter than humans and become the dominant life form on Earth. As a result of this, the zombie outbreak will finally occur, mm-hmm. but it won't matter. Because at that point, we will all have been uploaded to the cloud.
All right, you're going to... Thank you, Sean. All right, you're going to have to explain this to me. I get smartphones will become smarter than humans. I could actually see that happening. Actually, I'd argue that they're smarter than some humans now. not the dominant life form on Earth yet, but why will this result in the zombie apocalypse occurring?
Listen, if I knew that, I'd be a smartphone.
Oh, good answer. All right. Well, Tom, every year, millions of people make resolutions on New Year's. And every year, millions of people break the resolutions within the first week of the new year.
That's a positive attitude, Ray. So why'd you bring that up? I know it's our first episode of the new year, so why the negativity?
Well, Tom, you know what? It annoys me that people always break their resolutions, so I want to put an end to it.
Well, you want to put an end to people making resolutions? You can't stop people from making New Year's resolutions, Ray.
No, I don't want to stop people from making New Year's resolutions. I want to stop people from breaking them. I'm going to single-handedly fix New Year's resolutions.
Okay, first of all, you've been watching too much of the newsroom. And second, how do you plan on fixing New Year's resolutions?
With apps.
Apps. Okay, well, what apps do you have that will help people with their New Year's resolutions?
Okay, well, the most popular resolutions year after year are lose weight and get fit. So that's the one we're going to tackle. There's also smoking and, you know, what else? Saving money and getting out of debt. But, you know, one of my resolutions was to prepare for this episode, and I broke that one. So I only got losing weight and getting fit done.
Don't worry. I'm sure we can find an app for you.
So... let's talk about the ones that I did prepare for, which is losing weight and getting fit.
All right.
Something that me and my wife are doing, because I could, you know, I could get a little bit slimmer, is we're trying to keep track of our food. I don't want to say we're going on a diet, because diets are bad, and they make you feel bad. I don't want to say I'm trying to reduce my calorie intake, because I don't want to do that either. But... I did learn that if you keep track of how much you eat, or keep track of what you eat specifically, you'll actually be more likely to lose weight, and you will lose weight statistically. So I found an app. Actually, my wife found the app. It's called MyFitnessPal.
Okay.
It is on iOS, and I'm pretty sure it's on Android, too. It's one word, MyFitnessPal, and it's free. And what you can do with this app is keep track of all of your... food for the day. Mm-hmm. And what's really nice about it is it has a barcode scanner.
Oh,
so
smart.
Let's say, you know, we have a Stouffer's lasagna for dinner and green giant peas.
Sure.
All I have to do is take my smartphone, click add, click dinner, and then click the little barcode and scan it and say, oh, I had about a cup.
Okay.
And it automatically figures it out. Now, I've used other apps that do similar things, and we'll talk about some that you actually found out too.
Yeah.
But what I love about this is because it's programmed with the barcodes and it has a database full of these foods, it knows the serving size.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an app that did that. It already knew the serving size and figured out the calories accordingly. But you can also do fractions of the serving size.
Mm.
So, for instance, my cereal is a 3/4 cup serving size. Well, I'm going to eat a cup.
Mm-hmm.
So it automatically figures out, oh, well, 3/4 is a really weird one to use, so we'll convert it to a cup.
Sure.
And then you can do any fraction of that or decimal of that, which is really nice.
Nice.
And also, this interacts with a lot of other apps, which is really cool. There's one called Strive, which is just a pedometer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use it to keep track of your activity during the day and your walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes the calories that you burn from walking and pulls them over to MyFitnessPal and says, okay, here's your calories for the day. Here's the food you ate. Here's the exercise you did.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the net for the day. So, you know, I put in there that I'm sedentary because I work in an office. So it gave me the baseline of calories. But I actually found out that I walk a lot more than I realized.
Yeah.
From the Strive app that keeps track of my walking. So.
Well, yeah, as you said, I have got a couple of similar apps here. Somebody on Facebook, one of our fans, mentioned My Daily Plate. Now, it's iOS only, so I haven't gotten to check it out, but it sounded pretty cool. I did check out the Livestrong My Plate app. You can get a free demo or pay $2.99 for it. It's on iOS or Android. And it actually does a lot of the things that you just mentioned as far as, I don't know if it scans food barcodes, but what you can do is you can search for like Jolly Green Giant and it will pull up the product and serving sizes.
Which, and you can search with text also on MyFitnessPal. I did find out, though, that, sorry to jump back, MyFitnessPal is available on iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone,
the iPad.
And it's also available on their website as well. You can enter all your stuff there.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah.
There's an app I discovered. This is my sports tracker app, I guess. The Endomondo Sports Tracker. It's on iOS and Android, and it's an app that allows you to track your running, your biking, your skating workouts. So basically anything where you're moving from place to place, and you can set challenges for yourself, see how many calories you've burned, etc. But the app that I really love for this is called Zombies Run.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, it's $8 on iOS. They're having a sale, by the way, on Android for a lot of these apps, so they're half price. It's the new year, kind of this new year promotion they're doing. But if you need motivation for running, how about this one? You're being chased by zombies.
That's fantastic.
This is a cool run tracking app disguised as a game, a horrifying, horrifying game. As you run, you'll periodically have to outrun zombie mobs, and you will also pick up supplies that will help you survive the zombie apocalypse. Walking Dead? More like Running Dead.
All right, so have you tried this app yet?
I have not, but it is on sale again, and I'm really excited. I'm definitely downloading this one, and I'm going to try this out. I want to be chased by zombies while I run.
That is hilarious. I have actually seen it before, but yeah, that $8 price tag kind of pushed me away from it.
Yeah, and you know, I always encounter these people that are like, running, I wouldn't run unless someone's chasing me. Well, guess what? Now they are.
Yeah, see, I take it a step further. I won't run unless someone's shooting at me.
I don't know.
We'll have to work on that app. Maybe why I have to, I need to work on my health. But no, you know, the nice thing about what going back to MyFitnessPal again is, you know, that's my resolution, just to keep track of my food.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to go on a diet. I'm not trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep track of my food and a goal. I do have a goal to lose 1 pound a week, but my goal is just to keep track of my food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I can accomplish that.
Yeah.
If I can build in goals, a habit. Yeah.
Achievable goals are really important.
That's what matters, you know? So, and then, you know, after I get into a habit of a month of keeping track of my food, then we'll talk about worrying about the caloric intake and, you know, reducing all that stuff.
And being chased by zombies.
And I think I'm going to try like a couch to 5K first before I start a running app. That's a little too much for me. I did couch to 5K last year, but I jumped ahead a little bit
because
my friend was doing couch to 5K and he was like on week 3. And I'm like, oh, I'll be fine. It's just, you know, third week. Yeah, I almost died. That did not work well. So I'm going to try
to ease into that.
I'm going to try couch to 5K on a half plan. Like if this is week 1, I'm going to do week 1 2 weeks and then week 2 2 weeks.
Sure.
Because I'm not a big... No, you run a little bit, though.
I do run a little bit. Yeah. And I'm trying to get back in shape for the river run, so that's coming up.
Interesting. So, okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that is all the time that we've got for today. Thank you for all your emails, and keep them coming.
Yes.
Email us at questions@deemable.com, or better yet, call us and tell us your tech problems at 904-372-3336. Also, subscribe to the show. Search for Deemable Tech on iTunes or point your favorite podcast app to dmbl.co/pod. Our producer is Sean Birch. I'm Ray Hollister.
I'm Tom Braun.
And this is Deemable Tech. Thanks for listening and have a great week. Support for Deemable Tech is provided by A Small Orange, homegrown hosting, a refreshingly different approach to web hosting, on the web at asmallorange.com. and by A. Edelson LLC, Simple Green Technology Consulting, on the web at aedelson.com. And by Jack's Computer Guys, providing desktop and laptop service for all of Northeast Florida, on the web at jackscomputerguys.com.
Show me pictures of Ray Hollister naked. There we go.
What?
I mean, ah, damn it. Just did a Google search. Whoa.